Jackie Vakes out of the office this morning. She says she'll be back this afternoon to talk with us, and we'll discuss with her, of course, the USDA numbers as they're due to be released at 11 o'clock this morning. That's the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. Check out our willag.org website. I'll have some of those numbers up there for you. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Commodity Week. That will be embedded right there at willag.org, so you can see the numbers as they're released from the United States Department of Agriculture at 11 o'clock. Chip Nellinger is here today at this hour to talk about the marketplace and what's been happening in Chicago. Pre-report, there's a nice little bump in the market. Why is that the case today? Chip, no, thank you for filling in this morning, too.
Yeah, not a problem, not a problem. I think it's two things, Todd. If you look over at the dollar index today, we're seeing a big drop, actually kind of testing those lows from that huge down day of Thursday of last week in the dollar. That's given commodities in general a little bump. And with the report coming out here, I think you're seeing a little short covering right ahead of it. Funds have a pretty large short position built up in corn and wheat especially. They've got more of a neutral standpoint in the beans, but I do think you're seeing a little short covering and some help from the dollar, and now we'll see what happens here at 11 o'clock, but it shouldn't be really much of a big deal. Not many changes expected on this December supply and demand report.
Have you heard a reason for the drop in the dollar yet?
No, I really haven't. There's lots of fluctuations. We had the euro currency and some announcements on interest rates last week in Europe. Obviously, next week we've got the Federal Reserve supposed to give out the decision on whether they're going to raise interest rates here or leave them unchanged. And so the next week to two, we could see some really large volatility, big fluctuations in these currency markets, and that could have a direct effect on commodities and our grain markets as well.
No, we're not expecting much changes in the USDA WASD figures. So given all of that, if we remain where we are, what are you telling producers about the ability of the marketplace to rally, at least in the cash market, to those $4 and $9 levels that they like to sell at?
Yeah, I think that's a possibility here. I think we got to look at it from two standpoints. Number one, under the assumption that the lows for the foreseeable future are probably in, and we could maybe put a little rally in, they're probably going to soften up basis, especially on corn. So you got to look at it from two standpoints. There's good basis levels in most areas right now. Think about locking that in, and then here down the road, setting your futures. If corn futures rally 20 to 25 cents, I think that they'll take 5 to 10 of it away, unfortunately, in basis. So you almost have to separate the price of it, the futures price, and the basis right now, and think of it as two separate things.
Is there a difference in that strategy if you have on-farm or at the elevator storage? So the difference between paying for and not paying for the storage is really the question.
It's hard to overcome the elevator storage. Those storage rates are pretty hefty. On farm, really what it comes back to, and this can kind of get long-winded, but what it comes back to is make a plan for when you want to move those bushels. There's still good carry in the market, but it depends on your time slot. If you want to move those bushels in the next 6 weeks, you probably need to look at locking the basis in. If your time frame is clear out into April, May, June, then we probably do have some time to be patient on the basis. So it depends on when you want to move those bushels. Obviously, if those are on farm, you have more options and better options than if that's at the elevator, because those storage rates kind of eat up any of the potential carry in the market at sometimes.
Now, there are a couple of other items I think we probably ought to consider, and maybe you have thought about some. You can take up these or other outside influences. December the 10th, Argentina will have a new president, and that probably will change, as best we can tell, the way they are involved in the free market and commodities in particular. Grains, wheat and corn will no longer, if he's correct, have a tariff coming out of that country on them, making them more competitive, I suppose, on the world market. Soybeans will begin to ratchet down. They're at 35% tax on it at the moment, and that'll ratchet down maybe 5%. The other item is the RFS and how it might change both the need for corn in the coming year. There should be about 500 million extra gallons, maybe, mandated through the RFS for conventional ethanol. That would be ethanol made from corn, possibly sorghum, other sorts of things. And the advanced biofuels includes a lot of soybean oil through soy diesel. So those are the items I'm thinking about. Have you considered any of them?
Yeah, and those are both good points. Let's take it from the corn ethanol standpoint first. I think any of the changes that are expected in today's report may be a small bump higher in ethanol usage because of that. So some of that is starting to get digested in the market. On the soy oil side, soy oil really has led us higher on this rally. We've had a huge rally in soy oil on the heels of that renewable fuels standard that came out a couple weeks back. So some of that's in the market, and that's definitely going to be something that's supportive to soy oil usage from a biodiesel standpoint. Now, where I think beans benefit is typically, historically, soy oil cannot lead us in a huge bull market in beans. It's a smaller percentage of the crush. Usually the leader is soy meal. Well, now we got these funds playing spreads and heavily in all our markets. I think that benefits beans no matter what. And from the standpoint that if soy oil continues to rally, it's going to help drag beans higher. If we have a big reversal in that oil meal spread and meal strongly gains on oil, that helps beans too. So I think beans win no matter what happens from that renewable fuel standard. From the standpoint of number one, if oil keeps going up, it's going to help drag beans with it. And if you have a big correction, and meal reverses, that's going to support beans too. I think the other thing is a good point, the Argentina elections and new president coming in here. Some of that's in the market, and probably the biggest issue is how quickly and to what extent does he devalue their currency. That is going to determine how much, you want to call it old crop, how much farmer-held supplies of beans hit the market and how fast. We know he said all along he's going to reduce those export tariffs, taking them away in corn and wheat, reducing them in beans somewhat. So some of that's in the market, but that will be closely watched, and it may take some time is the issue. He's not just going to come into office and boom overnight, devalue their currency massively. It's probably going to be a slow process, but that is something that's definitely going to be on the mind of the bean market, especially to a lesser extent corn and wheat, as you go forward, say into the February, March, April time frame. Along with something we haven't talked about, there's still some dry areas of Brazil on some of their growing areas, and I think that that's kind of slowly lingering out there, and if they don't get some better rains in those areas in the next 2-3 weeks, I think that could be something that supports the bean market as well.
Thanks so much, Chip. I appreciate you filling in this morning. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks, Todd.
Chip Nellinger is with Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. He is out of Morton, Illinois. He joins us on this Wednesday morning. It's the 9th day of December. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.